Hey, this is Adrian Ellis. I'm the composer for Last Call, and you're listening to The Annotator.
Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 84, where composer Adrian Ellis talks about his original score for the single-take feature film Last Call. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net. With over 60 credits to his name, Adrian's feature film work includes The Scarehouse, Definition of Fear, and Taken Too Far. His television credits include themes for The Daily Planet on Discovery, orchestral cues for the CFL and international hockey on TSN, as well as music for Canada's long-running national morning show, Canada AM on CTV. One of his recent projects is for the feature film Last Call, directed by Gavin Michael Booth. Last Call is a real-time split-screen feature film shot in two true single takes and premiered at the Dances with Films at the TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood on Tuesday, June 18th. The film follows a suicidal alcoholic on the anniversary of his son's death. When he attempts to call a crisis hotline, a missed dial connects him with a single mother working as a night janitor at a local community college. The split-screen feature showcases both characters in real time as they navigate a life-changing conversation. In this episode, composer Adrian Ellis walks us through the challenges he faced in writing an original score for a single-take film. Matching the novel approach of the film, Ellis shares how and why he ended up recording the film score in a single-take as well, and in front of a live audience. He opens up a number of the original themes, discussing his instrumentation, and reveals some of his influences like Arvo Pärt and Johnny Greenwood. Ellis shares how the score's musicians had a more physically demanding performance while also having a unique emotional experience while performing the score.
So we're listening here to the first cue of Last Call, called The Long Walk Home. And it follows the main character, or one of the main characters, Scott, as he returns after a long night at the bar, while on the other side of the screen, because it's a split-screen movie done in a single take, the character of Beth is just getting to work at her night shift at the local community college. One of the big challenges of scoring a movie with no edits and no cuts in it is that you don't have that kind of artificial barrier between scenes, between things, that sort of gives films its cinematic quality. There's a certain kind of cinema verite, very realistic kind of feel to this. And so in turn, the music kind of becomes a little more artificial in a way. But at the same time, there's lots of opportunities for the music to really help tell the story. And in this case, it's really giving a sense of the emotional landscapes of the characters and a context for what the movie's going to be about, and drawing the viewer into that, giving it a bit of forward motion as the characters move through their day, or their night in this case, and yeah, giving you a little bit of a feeling for what's to come. So the way that I decided to record the score was, like the film, in a single take. And the reason why partly has to do with the way that director Gavin Michael Booth and I have worked from the very beginning of our collaborations, which is usually based on a dare of some sort or some sort of a challenge to do things in a slightly different way. On another feature film, I recorded a lot of sounds on set, which was at a working haunted attraction, and I incorporated those into the score. When he told me that he was going to be doing this film in a single take, I immediately jumped on it and said, well, I could do the score in a single take as well. So I figured he'd go away and give it some thought, and we'd come back to it and have a conversation and figure out the logistics of the entire thing, and I'd do some research and figure out if it was actually possible. But then I get a text from Gavin one day, and basically it's a link to a news broadcast where they've come into the set of Last Call when they were filming, and they sort of, you know, done some interviews with the cast and the crew and everything, and asking questions about how this was made. I thought, oh, great, that's amazing. We're getting a little bit of coverage here. then it cuts back to the studio, and they say, and the film is not the only thing that's going to be done in one take. So basically how I got wrapped into this was Gavin announcing on national television that I was going to be doing the score in one take. So now we come to the end of the first cue of the film, part one of three, called The Long Walk Home. And that is essentially Beth's main theme. For Beth, I really wanted to have her represent the idea of hope. Even though she's a struggling single mom and has her own challenges, I wanted her to be that anchor and that life raft, essentially, that Scott is looking for. Here we hear what is essentially Scott's theme. Scott's character is someone who's going through an incredibly trying period in his life. He's lost and incredibly depressed and at the edge of suicide. And basically, he's making a last-ditch effort to save his own life by calling a suicide helpline. But the only problem is that the number that he's had taped to his fridge for all these years is now defunct and has gone to the wrong number at a local community college, and he ends up getting the local night janitor, Beth, the other character in the film. And their conversation and their ensuing relationship is the foundation on which the film is built. This theme is especially prevalent whenever Scott is not talking to Beth. So when Scott is alone, when Scott's, sinking into his own thoughts and despair about his situation. Another way these themes function is because you have a split-screen movie done in a single take, no cuts, no changing of perspective in terms of the visual, the music becomes really critical in terms of helping the audience understand whose scene it is. So by using really spare, specific, very differentiated themes, the aim was for the music to help you to be able to tell where you were supposed to put your focus. And in this case, it's really Scott's theme. So although Beth is doing things, it's not related to what Scott's doing right now. And you want the audience to be able to focus on where the story is at. The score is essentially comprised of three parts. The string quartet, which we recorded live on the Chrysler Theater in Windsor. A piano part, which I played myself, and piano atmospheres that I created. The piano and the piano atmospheres are really the glue that holds everything together. And then the main emotional and main focus of the score is the gorgeous string quartet, which we recorded live. This kind of spare, desolate, lonely sound. There were two really big inspirations for the score for me. One was Arvo Pärt's Spiegel im Spiegel, and the other one is Johnny Greenwood's score for There Will Be Blood. He has parts in that where it really reflects the landscape of where the film is taking place, and just these open spaces. I think it's even called something like Open Spaces. And I was just so captivated by that sound, and I thought that if you took that but translated it into a very intimate two-hander in a single-take movie, that the result would be quite interesting. So now we come to the main theme of the film. And what I wanted was a conversation between the two characters that was then represented by the players. I am personally love the sound of viola. It's a little more throaty, it's deeper, it's warmer, and it really reflected the character of Beth. And that's why I chose it for Beth. Scott, of course, here gets the cello. Both are really about playing the humanity and that delicacy. One of the things I really liked about the way we did it, I mean, beyond just the concept of it and beyond the challenge, I thought to myself, oh, this will be a great experiment, because if it works, you have these musicians performing essentially a high wire act of doing everything live. And, you don't really get second chances, and you don't, even though we did several takes and then chose the one that worked the best, You know, you're still, there's a lot of pressure on the musicians, but I thought, man, if you can just focus on the music and really have that energy and tension come through in the score. And there are parts where it's a little shaky, but I like it. And it works so well in the film because the characters are flawed and the characters are broken and the characters are fragile, and the music reflects that so beautifully. And that I think was my, you know, the thing that I find the most joy in, and going back and listening to it and going, yes, that really did pay off, even though it was kind of risky and it could have gone wrong. I'm really happy with the results in it. The other big difference, of course, for the musicians is that their experience of the film is so completely different. They experience moving through the entirety of the film and the emotional arcs and the changes in dynamics and emotions in real time and respond to that. And it's a physical feat, a physical act to go through it. It's an hour and 20 minutes of pure concentration, and that was really challenging. I mean, I think at the end of that six-hour session, they were totally exhausted. But even after each take, I mean, they really expressed that, you know, going through the score was challenging, not necessarily from a technical perspective as much as just a purely emotional perspective. They put it all on the line. And, you know, I think that physically it was quite challenging for them. This film is very challenging, I would say, and raw. I think if I had to use one word to describe the feeling of it, it is definitely raw. Performances are raw, the situation is raw. And in part, what I wanted to try and do was give audiences a way in and soften a little bit of that rawness and soften a little bit of the characters, because it is so intense and it is such a deep and sometimes rough journey. So I feel like the music helps glue some of this stuff together and gives you a bit of a softer lens through which to view the characters. And of course, that beautiful instant kind of connection to an emotion, as opposed to having to search for it or look for it. You just kind of feel it instantly and you connect with them so deeply. And when this moment happens, it's at a very critical part of the movie. You're already quite deep into it. And the opportunity for music to really just, you know, drive that screw in terms of the emotion is just, it's a wonderful opportunity for a composer. In that frailty and delicacy of the playing in the string quartet, I mean, they just did such a wonderful job. You know, it's funny, it's not a lot of notes, it's actually a lot of held notes, and I also wrote the score purposely to be playable and to not be too technically challenging, because I knew that they had to really work hard, and they had a big task just in terms of, you know, getting it down, never mind getting it done well, getting through the score even live in front of an audience. So that, you know, the fact that they gave such a beautiful performance and really brought that emotion to it, it's just such a joy to listen to. Speaking of emotional intensity, in this final cue of the film, which I titled Don't Hang Up, we really ratchet up the intensity and the emotion here as the film comes to its conclusion. I think in this cue, you can, especially as we go on, you can really start to hear how hard we've pushed the musicians. There is an intensity and a drive and a sense of going somewhere with purpose that is really felt. One thing I'm really pleased with is that even though we're working with such a small ensemble of musicians, I feel like we got a lot of bigness out of the sound. When you're used to working with a large ensemble of especially string players, there's a kind of thickening of the sound, a bigness that happens just because of the size, and of course you get that nice blending effect, whereas here everything is exposed, everything is under the microscope, and it it's a smaller, more intimate sound. So the fact that we managed to get this much punch and clarity and bigness out of it I'm very happy with that. The cello part in this, I think, just sounds fantastic. Imperfections in the recording. There's noise. There's you hear every time you have some people stepping around. The audience was amazing, but at one point there was a crew that started unloading a truck in the back of the theater. That was something I hadn't expected. And you do, I mean, again, because you can do. I didn't want to do edits, but I could do EQ moves. So I did EQ some of the low, like, clunking sounds, but there's a lot of noise in this score. It's definitely not the cleanest, most sparkling clean. But for that, again, it's not the most sparkling clean movie either, and I think it works for that reason. Somebody mentioned Vivaldi's Winter when they heard this, and it's actually very apropos because we all risked our lives, I think, to make this recording happen. I was tasked with driving all the musicians down from Toronto to Windsor, and that's about a 4-hour drive on a good day. We got hit with the most incredible winter storm. It was ice pellets, freezing rain, sleet, everything that winter could throw at us, it did. And we saw some incredible, you know, really bad accidents, jackknifed semis on the way down. And on the way back, it was even worse, massive car pileups, and it was just chaos and carnage on the roads. So I think if I had to pick a theme song for what it felt like, you know, trying to get this recording made, this cue would do well to give you an idea of what it felt like, especially driving on those winter roads.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with composer Adrian Ellis and his original score for the feature film Last Call. The original soundtrack for Last Call has not been officially released, but you can listen to 11 tracks from the score on Adrian Ellis's SoundCloud page. You can find out more about and hear more music by Adrian Ellis at his official site, adrianelliscomposer.com, or follow him on Twitter at adrian_ellis. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net or wherever you find quality podcasts. Wherever you do listen, please leave us a rating or a review, and if you know someone you think might enjoy the show, please let them know about The Annotator. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator or on Facebook or Instagram at The Annotator, or you can send us your feedback via email to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.